Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasti Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopada Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Go Premanandi. All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhuvale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatade Shatadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shvasti Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 1, Verse 3. Bhubara Raja Pratana Yadubir Narasya Guptair Sabahubir Achintayat Aprameya Manye vaner nanu gato pya gatam hi baram. Yad yadavam kulam aho avishakhyam aste. Bhubara, existing as the burden of the earth, Raja, of the kings, Pratana, armies, Yadubhi, by the Yadus, and Nirasya, eliminating, Guptai, protected, Swabahubi, by his own arms, Achintayat. He considered Aprameya, the unfathomable Lord. Manye, I think, Avane, of the earth, Nanu, one may ask, Gota, it is gone, Appi, but Agatam, it is not gone, he, indeed, Bharam, the burden, yat, because Yadavam of Yadus, Kulam, dynasty, Aho, Avishahyam, intolerable, Aste, remains. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead used the Yadu dynasty, which was protected by his arms, to eliminate the kings who, with their armies, had been the burden of this earth. Then the unfathomable Lord thought to himself, although some may say that the earth's burden is now gone, in my opinion, is not yet gone, because there still remains the Yadava dynasty itself, whose strength is unbearable for the earth. Purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has remarked in this regard that although ordinary people might think that the Lord has now removed the burden of the earth by killing the demons, re-establishing Dharma, and so on, Lord Sri Krishna himself could detect that there was further danger from the irreligious activity of his own family members who were acting improperly. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that a just king will refuse to punish his own enemy if his enemy is innocent, but will punish his own son if his son actually deserves punishment. Thus, although in the eyes of the world the members of the Lord's own dynasty are always worshipable, Lord Krishna detected that by their intimate association with him, some members of the Yadu dynasty had become indifferent to his will. Since such whimsical members of the Yadu dynasty could act freely, being relatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they would surely cause great misfortune for the world, and foolish persons would take such whimsical behavior to be the will of Krishna. Thus the Lord, whose desires are inconceivable, began to consider the need to annihilate the indifferent, contemptuous members of the Yadu family. From the viewpoint of ordinary persons, all the demons had been killed by the Supreme Lord's pastimes in Dwarka and Mathura, as well as by the battle of Kurukshetra, and the earth was now free of its burden. Nonetheless, to free the earth from the remaining burden of his own puffed out family members, Lord Sri Krishna transferred them away from the earth by causing a fratricidal war among them. In this way, he prepared for his own disappearance from the earth. Sridhar Swami has pointed out that the word Bahubi, by his arms, is used in the plural rather than in the dual, to indicate that the Lord caused the destruction of the Yadu dynasty in his four-armed form. The original form of Krishna as Govinda is two-armed, but it was by the plenary portion of the four-armed Narayan that the Lord killed all the demons on earth and ultimately removed the burdensome members of his own family. It may be asked, if certain members of the Yadu family had become indifferent to the will of the Lord, why didn't they oppose the Lord and his plan to remove them from the earth? Therefore, the word aprameya is used, which indicates that it is impossible for anyone, even the Lord's own family members, to understand his will completely. Srila Jiva Goswami has given another reason for the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. He emphasizes that the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should never be taken to be ordinary material activities, nor are the Lord's associates ordinary persons. Although Lord Krishna apparently incarnates within this world for some time and then goes away, it should be understood that the Supreme Lord is eternally situated with his entourage in his various abodes in the spiritual sky, such as Sri Gokul, Mathura, and Dwarka. The members of the Yadu dynasty are eternal associates of the Lord, and therefore they cannot bear to be separated from the Lord. Since Krishna was preparing to give up his earthly pastimes, if we were to leave the Yadu dynasty on earth, they would surely become so disturbed by his absence that in their highly agitated state of mind, they would trample and destroy the earth. Therefore, Krishna arranged the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty prior to his own disappearance. Srila Jiva Goswami concludes that ultimately the members of the Yadu dynasty are never to be considered irreligious. Vaishnava Acharyas have mentioned that the story of the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty is especially meant to help the conditioned souls achieve liberation from the bondage of materialistic life. Within the three worlds, there were none as powerful and opulent as the Yadu dynasty. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a possessor of unlimited opulences, beauty, strength, knowledge, fame, and so on, and the members of the Yadu dynasty, being the personal associates of the Lord, were also endowed with inconceivable opulences. Therefore,
When we see how a fratricidal war suddenly deprived the members of the Yadu dynasty of all their earthly possessions and even their lives, we can understand that there is no permanent position within the material world. In other words, although the members of the Yadu dynasty are eternal associates to the Lord and were immediately transferred to another planet where the Lord was appearing, their sudden disappearance through fratricidal war is meant to impress upon the conditioned souls the temporary nature of this world. Therefore, the apparent indifference or enmity of certain members of the Yadu dynasty towards Krishna should not be taken to be actual irreligion on their part. The entire situation was arranged by Lord Krishna to teach a lesson to the conditioned souls. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami cited several verses from the Bhagavatam to prove that the members of the Yadu dynasty achieved their exalted birth in the Lord's own family by innumerable pious activities and by complete absorption in thoughts of Lord Krishna. In fact, it is said that in sleeping, sitting, walking, and speaking, they were unable to remember their own selves because they were simply thinking of Krishna. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada has commented as follows on the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. The setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. It means the sun is out of our sight. Similarly, the end of the mission of the Lord on a particular planet or universe only means that he's out of our sight. The end of the Yadu dynasty also does not mean that it is annihilated. It disappears along with the Lord out of our sight. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead used the Yadu dynasty, which is protected by his own arms, to eliminate the kings who, with their armies, had been a burden of this earth. But then the unfathomable Lord thought of to himself, although some may say that the earth burden is now gone, in my opinion, it is not yet gone, because it still remains the Yadava dynasty itself, whose strength is unbearable for the earth. So, this describes Krishna's own thoughts, in which he talks about the Yadus also being a burden on the earth if they exist independently of Krishna. Of course, we also know that the Yadus are devotees of the Lord, so they're never independent of the Lord, and they have this position because they're highly qualified, so therefore they cannot actually ever think of being independent from the Lord. However, the Lord also has to make some arrangement for the disappearance of not only himself, but of his devotees. So he can do that in various ways. We see that in relation to other pastimes and other associates of the Lord. In this case, some detail is described in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam about how the Yadus disappeared. And it's also, we could say, a little bit of a unique story and a little bit of a strange story. Also, we could say an unlikely story in one sense, how the Yadus, who were great devotees, could have a fight among themselves, and how could they kill each other when they're eternal anyway. So it's, in one sense, an improbable story. Also, it puts the Yadus in a very bad light, that they were actually materialistic or drunkard or whatever. They became intoxicated. So it has a rather materialistic appearance to it as well. This story is quite famous, and it is detailed here in the Bhagavatam. Understanding is that this is an appearance, it's not an actual degradation of the Yadus. It's an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And we can understand that this is not the only case. We see Arjuna on the battlefield becomes bewildered when he shouldn't get bewildered, because he's beyond the material world and he's an eternal associate of the Lord and he's a friend of the Lord. How can he become bewildered? But yet he became bewildered, so bewildered that he threw down his bow and arrow and began crying. how is it possible? And then Krishna has to teach him, you're not the body, you're the soul, etc. So not really possible, yet this happened to Arjuna, an associate of the Lord. We see also the case of others, like Parikshit. Parikshit was the remainder of the Pandavas after they disappeared, and he was highly qualified as a great devotee, so qualified that he was also entitled to hear the Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. But yet, and he was king of the world, yet he became angry at a Brahmana, and he insulted the Brahmana because of thirst, of all things, when he was in complete control of his senses, and he always honored Brahmanas. So how could he do this? How could he insult a Brahmana because of his thirst? So it's highly unlikely this could take place, yet it happened. How? By arrangement of the Lord only, in order that Bhagavatam get spoken. Similarly, how did the Arjuna fall into illusion on battlefield of Kurukshetra? So Bhagavad Gita could get spoken. So in the various ways, the Lord makes some arrangements in which his devotees appear to fall under illusion, get covered over, etc., when actually it's not possible for them to do so, since they're eternally with the Lord. So this is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So we call this Yoga Maya. So in the material world, we have Maya, which is ignorance, material ignorance. And this is always condemned in the scriptures as being very detrimental for the jiva. Out of ignorance, the jivas develop ahankara and they identify with material bodies. They develop desires, they do activities, they create karmas. They get bound up in the material world. They take birth after birth. So all of this is Maya, because of Maya, and jiva's Maya. Yeah. However, in the spiritual world, for the Nitya Siddha jivas and the Sadhana Siddha jivas, we also have a type of Maya that's there, but it's completely different. This is not some choice of the jiva, a mistake of the jiva. This Maya is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. It is not because of some fault in the jiva. In the material world, the Maya is because the jiva has a sense of independence, and he's also very small, so he can make wrong choices. So in ignorance, he does many things. So that the ignorance is a choice of the jiva in the material world, causing great suffering for the jiva. In the spiritual world, the jiva does not have that ignorance. He never considers himself independent of the Supreme Lord. He never considers himself as an enjoyer. He simply sees himself as a servant of the Lord. So he cannot be affected by that ignorance of the material world, which we call Maya. But there's another type of ignorance that is there. The Lord, for his pastimes, will withdraw the knowledge of a jiva so he's not aware of something, so that he forgets something, in order that pastimes take place. In other words, this is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord to have pastimes and thereby increase bliss in the spiritual world. So the result is bliss, not suffering. The Maya of the material world creates suffering. The Maya of the spiritual world creates bliss. And it's not the fault of the jiva. It's an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. But we call it Maya because it is a type of ignorance. The jiva is not aware of certain things. Now in the spiritual world, of course, they say that jiva should not be covered by ignorance, therefore he should be knowledgeable of everything. But his knowledge is covered up to some degree. And this is how activity takes place in the spiritual world. So certain jivas limit their knowledge in one area and other jivas in another area. So we have cowherd boys limiting their knowledge to one particular rasa. They can't say, well, we know all the rasas, and we know that Madhurya rasa is the ultimate rasa, so we'll also have Madhurya rasa. They don't think like that. How is it possible? If they're most intelligent, they have no ignorance. We will say, we have more knowledge than the cowherd boys do. Because we can understand that Madhurya rasa is higher. They don't think like that. How is it possible? It's not material ignorance. This is arrangement of the Lord. Certain parts of their knowledge are blocked off. Why? Because this increases rasa. This increases sakya rasa for them, and they get more bliss that way. So, similarly for all the individuals in the spiritual world, there's a little bit of a limitation created by the Lord so that pastimes can take place and rasa can increase. If all the jivas had full knowledge in the spiritual world, there could be no pastimes, because the jivas would know the result of the pastime before it took place. They would know all the intentions of the Lord before he did anything. So, on the other hand, we see that no one can understand the Lord, and it's unpredictable what will happen. Even though the pastimes repeatedly take place in the spiritual world, each time they take place, they're new. So they don't remember the previous pastime. It becomes fresher. There's some unique activity that takes place, even if it's a similar pastime or the same pastime. So all this is caused by the yoga maya potency. So that is the how the Lord arranges his pastimes, by covering the knowledge of the jiva to some extent. In relation to that then, Arjuna gets covered by ignorance and he starts lamenting. But he's not lamenting as a normal person in this material world, because he cannot be overcome by identification with the material body. It's impossible for him. So it's all due to arrangement of the Lord. And similarly, Parikshit becomes angry. How he becomes angry? Arrangement of the Supreme Lord only. So here, again, appearance of the, or the disappearance of the Yadus. We cannot attribute any fault to the Yadus. And ask how they became bewildered, how they got intoxicated, how they began quarreling with each other. It doesn't look like it's spiritual at all. Yeah, definitely isn't. So it's not their fault. It is arrangement of the Supreme Lord so that they disappear. And they should disappear before the Lord disappears. So it's explained in the purport that the Lord arranged them for them to disappear first, because if he disappeared and then the Yadus were left, then they would be in great lamentation for the Lord because of separation. We see that as the case of the Pandavas. They were left after Krishna had disappeared. So they had to suffer that separation from the Lord. We see the momentary separation when Krishna leaves Dwarka to go to Hastinapur or somewhere else, then the people of Dwarka lament. And then when Krishna comes back, they're happy again. And so if Krishna disappears from the earth, then the Yadus will be very disturbed. So he wanted to prevent that type of disturbance to the Yadus. So he had them disappear first. But how are they to disappear? They cannot get killed by others. Inferior persons, inferior jivas can't touch them. So he can't make them get killed in that way. So he made this arrangement in which they fought among themselves instead. And that's the way they disappeared. So this is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord, and got nothing to do with any material fault on the part of the Yadus. In this way, what looks like fault should not be attributed as fault on their behalf. The arrangement of the Lord is perfect. So we may say, well, why he made this particular process for the Yarus to disappear and for himself to disappear? Yet this is the arrangement the Lord made, and he has his own plan in mind. We could not completely understand that plan. The way in which the Lord thinks and how he arranges things are bewildering to the jivas of this material world. The exact thinking of the Lord also difficult to understand. In this verse, it is the Lord is said to be a prameya. So prameya comes from pramana. Pramana means to measure or to prove or whatever like that. So aprameya means you cannot measure him. You cannot really understand anything about how he is thinking. So why the Lord makes this arrangement, we cannot logically analyze completely. To some degree we can understand through the acharyas, but we cannot understand completely his whole purpose. So that is why he's called aprameya. Yet, of course, the verse explains that, yes, the burden is gone, but it's not gone. So this is one explanation that Bhagavatam gives. And so Krishna was thinking, therefore, somehow we have to get rid of the Yadu dynasty. So the Lord makes this particular arrangement, and it is perfect in its own way, because it is the Lord's arrangement. I mentioned previously that the way in which he did this will give materialists plenty to criticize, just as they'll criticize Krishna's other pastimes, or they'll criticize the Ras Lila. So they will also criticize Krishna for how he disappears. In the sense that they'll criticize because they say, oh, look, now we know he's actually a material being because he got shot and he died from a shot wound in the foot, of all things. And look, his whole dynasty, they fought with each other, so they're full of faults. So it gives plenty of opportunity for materialists to criticize the Lord and his devotees and say that they're not eternal, they're not perfect, they're materialistic, etc. So this is the appearance that the Lord makes for some people. So this is one aspect of particularly Krishna's pastimes. He acts in such a way that materialists can take him as a materialist. And it takes a great devotee to understand the pure spiritual nature of Krishna's activities. So this is one example of how Krishna makes an arrangement which gives the materialist plenty of ammunition for criticizing him. In this way, Krishna becomes hidden from unqualified persons. So the Bhagavatam is called Mohini because it hides some things, and the demons, the materialists, cannot appreciate the nectar. Whereas the devotees can appreciate the nectar. So this is one example of how the demons or the materialists cannot appreciate the nectar. They will take this pastime and they'll start to criticize Krishna and the Yadus as being very materialistic because of their the way they act and how Krishna disappears. So a very a convenient way of disappearing so that materialists can criticize him. So in this way, Krishna conformed to the materialistic opinion and he looked like he was material. But we also see that through this whole description of Krishna's disappearance, that it is also made very clear that actually he didn't disappear at all, and that he didn't die, really. The hunter shot a body, but actually Krishna's body was different from that anyway. And then he ascended in a chariot, a divine chariot, to the spiritual world. So if you had the eyes, then you could see something quite different. So this is what the devotees can appreciate. The Lord doesn't have a material body at all. It's not subject to material energy. It cannot be killed. But the external appearance is something different. It looks as if he did get killed. It looks as if he was injured, etc. So this is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord and an arrangement of the Bhagavatam to hide Krishna from the materialistic people. So those who are qualified will understand the real nature of the pastimes and the real nature of Krishna.
Devotees in the spiritual world are put up in a particular mode or mood of thought. The jivas in the material world also put in that position of ignorance only by Krishna.
If they're on prema, they're under Krishna. So the Lord will take away certain aspects of awareness from them also if they're in prema.